Good afternoon and welcome to another Clearwater Jazz Holiday Foundation's Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. I am your host, Michael Kernodal, and I'm delighted today to have none other than today's educator, JJ Pattishall. And the topic is using blues as a foundation. So I want to thank everyone for joining us here live. If you're here with us, if you have questions or comments, there's a little feature in there that's called chat. Go in there, type your questions. We love interaction and we'll save some time closer to the end to answer any questions. You know what? This would not be possible without our awesome sponsors. So I want you to please be sure to check out the studio archives of all of our past video sessions at clearwaterjazz.com's education outreach section. And that's brought to you by Blue Water Wealth Management at Stewart Partners and Duke Energy, as well as our Young Lions podcast available wherever you stream. And that's brought to you by our friends at Marine Max Clearwater. You can search Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions wherever you stream. I mean, where can I start? I mean, JJ has given us so many great sessions, but if you don't know who he is, JJ Pattishall is the next generation in a lineage of talented musicians, educators, and community leaders firmly rooted in the cultural tradition and creative innovation. Born into a musical family, JJ's love for music was cultivated from an early age. Growing up surrounded by some of the finest musicians and entertainers in the Southeast, he has brought up on the music of artists ranging from Louis Armstrong to Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder to the Neville Brothers, and Willie Nelson and Bob Marley and the Wailers. Man, what a lineup you have there. Today, as a sought-after guitarist, vocalist, and instructor steeped in jazz and roots traditions, JJ is quickly making a name for himself as both a solo artist and a consummate accompanist. His global outlook combined with a down-home sensibility give him a unique ability to connect with audience from all walks of life. With a deep reverence for old school sounds and wisdom and an eye on the horizon, JJ is a dynamic artist on the rise. So with no further delay, JJ, the stage is all yours.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. It's always a pleasure to be here with the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. Thank you to the Clearwater Jazz Holiday and all our sponsors for making this possible. These lessons have really just turned into such a great resource for the community at large, for not only for our students, but just even for music lovers and community students as well. This lesson is going to be geared towards the next kind of series of lessons that we're working on here will be geared towards those with essentially some foundational guitar, maybe at least some, probably geared towards intermediate, late beginners to early intermediate players that have been playing for some time. And especially those that are either entering the middle school or high school jazz ensembles and are looking for a place to start. I know that when we step into jazz, it can be daunting at times, even when you've been playing a while, right? There are so many different approaches. There are so many different ideas and there's so much great information out there today. And sometimes weeding through it and finding out which is going to work the best for you and what you need can be a difficult task. So I hope that these lessons over the next several weeks will kind of give you a roadmap of how to start navigating this music we call jazz. So let's get us today's lesson with that in mind. We're going to talk about the blues. And before we jump into that, I'm going to give you, for those of you who are with me, I'm going to give you just a quick tune up here so we're on the same page. I'm going to give you a low E. And I'll give you your high E. All right. So What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the blues. And this is really going to be kind of an introductory lesson, because this is something I believe that we will come back to in more depth as the weeks go on. We'll definitely spend some time talking more about the history and kind of where it comes from and why it's so important. And we'll touch on that today, but definitely we'll get more into depth with kind of just understanding the blues as an art form in itself down the road. But just some general knowledge that you should probably know, right? Blues developed in the kind of 1860s in the Deep South. So more often than not, right, when we think about blues, we associate it with regions like the Mississippi Delta, the Gulf Coast, just all throughout the South. There's great blues traditions from Texas to Mississippi to St. Louis. I mean, all over. So it's important to understand that. What is the blues? Blues originated, has a rich history, but also originated from African-American spirituals in the early days of slavery. We have a music that is rooted in kind of a blend of African-American spirituals, work songs, field hollers, and narrative style ballad. And what we want to understand about that is that the blues is in itself is the backbone of so much of the music that we love and appreciate today. So the popular, and especially when we're talking about American music, the impact of blues can really not be understated. So everything from rock and roll, right? This is when we hear about the typical kind of rock and roll groove. To something blues has impacted R&B, soul music, funk music, hip-hop. It is in so much of the dance music. It's interesting, blues has had a global impact. I mean, we can find elements of the blues in more modern styles throughout the continent of Africa, throughout Europe, I mean, everywhere. So I think it's important to understand that the impact, again, cannot be kind of understated. So with that in mind, I always look at blues as, well, has been a great foundation for getting into jazz. If any of you have been playing guitar for any amount of time, at some point, especially as guitar players, even if we don't spend a lot of time there, we end up dealing with the blues for a little while, because it's such an important, especially when we're talking about guitar, it is almost it's synonymous with the instrument in so many ways. When we talk about rock music, especially if you're coming from, I don't care if you're playing more traditional rock to punk music, to hardcore music, to metal, the blues, whether you can pick it out or not, upon first listen, it's in there. So it's important to kind of understand that. So the beauty of that is that it can really lay, for us guitar players, I feel like it has the ability to help us kind of move into the realm of jazz, and what we think of as jazz. So we'll talk more about that as well. But for now, I think the blues is just such a great tool for understanding the core elements of jazz, because in many ways, you know, blues and jazz have always kind of had these parallel, seem to have always had these kind of parallel paths. They have merged and at different points, and they've also developed in their own ways, right? Based off of regional influences, based off of popular influences. But they've always had a deep relationship. It's kind of different branches of the same tree, if you will. For me, I find that having that understanding as a guitar player gives me a starting point with getting into jazz, because especially when we're talking about early jazz, and a lot of the music that you're going to be dealing with in the beginning, in your jazz ensembles within the school systems, a lot of those tunes, from Duke Ellington to Count Basie to Louis Armstrong to George Benson, right? All of those composers and players have deep ties and deep roots in the blues. So I think that's, to me, that is kind of a great way to begin your journey. So then we say, okay, well, in what way? So now we've got a general idea of the historical side of it, but now we need some more practical application. And in what ways can we use the blues as sort of a template for playing this music? And so in my mind, the blues and jazz incorporate some of the same properties, right? So we've got improvisation in both styles. So improvisation is inherent to blues, improvisation is inherent to jazz, right? You've got the call and response that is deeply rooted in the African American spirituals and field hollers, that we'll talk more about what that means, but the whole call and response idea that you hear throughout so much of Black American music, really. We've also got just a really solid song form to deal with. In jazz, you'll see, whether you're dealing with a 32 bar song form, whether you're dealing with a 12 bar song form. But I think with blues, it's kind of accessible in a lot of ways, right? With blues, even in jazz, more often than not, we're dealing with the traditional 12 bar blues. There are variations, but the 12 bar form is something that is manageable for a lot of us. The rhythmic sensibilities, right? So rhythm is deeply tied to blues and to jazz. And even when we talk about the swing, whether we're talking about a swing pattern that is so characteristic of a lot of our early jazz and even contemporary and straight ahead jazz, it's not too far off. It's really I don't even know if I should say a cousin or a sister to the blues shuffle, right? That 6/8 rhythm is just kind of also inherent in so many ways to both of those styles. So rhythmically, they have deep ties. So for me, and then the melodic sensibility, when we're talking about that sense of melody, improvised melody, and we'll get into more of that. But I think, again, for me, that lays a nice groundwork. Now, maybe you haven't spent a lot of time with the blues. We'll back up for a moment. Well, what does that mean when we're talking about a 12 bar blues? 12 measures, right? If you spend any time in any of your ensembles, it's just bars is kind of a contemporary way of saying measures. All right, so we've got 12 measures. And for the most part, the cool thing about the blues, right? It's still, even in jazz, it's based more or less around the 1, the 4, and the 5. Okay, so 1, 4, 5. These are all things that we're going to get into more again over the next several weeks, where we'll talk about building a code. Where we'll talk about building a chord vocabulary, and what all that entails. We actually have some lessons up on the site that you can go back, where I talk a little bit about chord progressions, but we'll get more into depth about that. But if you go back through our archives, there are some lessons on the site that deal with kind of understanding, what is a 1 and a 4, a 5, a 2, 5, 1. You'll hear all these kind of numerical patterns. And if you're trying to kind of decipher what that is, it really just means, where the chord lays within the context of the scale. If you have 7 notes in a scale, right? Well, the 1 is the chord that's built off of the first note in the scale. In this case, we're going to deal with the key of B flat. B flat, C, D, E flat, F, G, A, and B flat. So that's a major scale, right? So I'm up here on the 6th fret. So we're going to deal up here. So we're going to start with the 1, which is the B flat. So then we'll go to the 4. Well, what is the 4? The 4 is the chord that's literally built on the fourth note of the scale. In the case, in the context of a B flat major scale, that would be an E flat. And I'm gonna get up here, I'll get closer to the screen and let you all see these chords as well. I'll get closer up so you can get a kind of an up close view in just a moment. And then we've got the five, which is the chord that's built on the fifth note of the scale. And that's gonna be your F. So B flat, D, excuse me, B flat, C, D, E flat, and F. So now the other thing that you need to know about the blues, that for the most part, there are exceptions, right? When you'll hear things like minor blues, like what's a minor blues, all right? In that type of blues has a kind of a different sound. I'll tell you about that in a second. But for the most part, blues is based around dominant chords, which the beauty of that is that you're also gonna need those dominant chords for your jazz, right? Dominant chords are all over jazz, right? Those are where we start really getting into some interesting chord voicings. When we start really reaching into the upper extensions, you get all sorts of interesting dissonances with dominant chords. So any of those funky chords that you're hearing, those are dominant chords. So what is a dominant chord? A dominant chord just means you have a major triad with a flat seven on the top. So in the case of the B flat scale, it's B flat, D, F, and E flat. So when I'm talking about, it's any kind of a major chord. If I'm dealing with a C dominant seven, right? That would mean C, E, G, and then I have the B flat, which is the flat seven on top. So, and that moves all around the neck. If you're dealing with an A flat dominant, A flat, C, E flat, G flat. Okay, so getting that sound, that dominant sound. So even though we're playing a 1-4-5, those are all gonna be B flat dominant seven, E flat dominant seven, to F dominant seven. I'm gonna get up real close here so you can see what I'm doing. So when I get up, here, if I'm lining up at the sixth fret, I've got essentially a bar going across that sixth fret. I've got my second finger on the third string in the seventh fret, and I've got my third finger here on the fifth string, which is the A string, in the eighth fret. When I play that, the beauty of being a guitar player too is that, you know, don't tell anybody, but we can kind of cheat. So if you haven't figured that out already, once you've learned a dominant seven chord on the sixth fret, right? Well, it's movable. So now I've essentially unlocked the entire neck with my root. The root in this case is the B flat, is here on the sixth string. And I talk about what that means in a previous lesson as well, where we're talking about the root on the whether your root is on the sixth string or your root is on the fifth string. When we're talking about the root on the fifth string, well, in this case, if I'm playing an E flat dominant, I'm going to line up here almost like the same shape that I would play like a C chord. I'm going to move it up here again to the sixth fret. And then I put my fourth finger here on the third string in the sixth fret. So that's an E flat dominant. And the beauty of this chord, I'm just playing those four middle strings. I'm gonna move that up too, that's movable. So I'm up here at the eighth fret with the root here on the eighth fret, that's an F. So now I just went from B flat seven, E flat seven, to F seven. Again, I'm just playing those four middle strings. I'm not playing the low end here, and I'm not playing the top string. So now what we're gonna do here. So I've got my dominant chord. So the beauty of this, once I've unlocked this 1-4-5 progression at the sixth fret, well, guess what? Now you've unlocked essentially a 1-4-5 around the entire neck. So maybe you're playing a tune in the key of C. Well, all I gotta do is move up two frets And now here I am, I'm back at the 8th fret, C7, F7, G7. We don't have to always say C dominant 7. It's just kind of understood universally if you say C7, F7, G7. More often than not, honestly, if you're looking at a lead sheet, you're gonna see C7, G7, F7, E-flat 7. So, but just know that that's the same as your dominant chord. So right here, so let's say you get a tune in F7, right? Or excuse me, the key of F. I can jump all the way down here to the first fret. And now I do the same idea. Now I had to change my fingering here. I'll show you this one. I've got some lessons on this also, but I'll just do a quick review. If you look back in our previous lessons, an alternate way to play your, obviously when you get down to this end of the neck, I'm running out of room to play that that B flat dominant 7 the way we were before. So all I have to do is create a bar here on the from the 5th string down. And I put my third finger, that's on the first fret. On the third fret, I've got my third finger on the fourth string, my fourth finger on the second string. So, and I'm playing again. I'm playing from the 5th string down, actually. So bar on the first fret, third fingers on the fourth string on the third fret, and then I've got my pinky or my fourth finger on the second string in the third fret as well. Now the beauty of this shape is also movable. So this is a B flat dominant 7 or B flat 7. So in the case of, you could just as well, if you're playing, going back to the where we were up here when I played that 1-4-5 like this, B flat 7, E flat 7, F7. I could also play that E flat 7 this way. So with this new fingering that I just gave you. And as soon as we start doing that, right, you can already hear a lot of our, if you're dealing with James Brown, right? James Brown is constantly dealing with dominant sevenths. So when I'm playing, getting those sounds in your kind of in your ears and kind of really kind of dialing in with what those sound like, your dominant seven chords, that's going to really help you as well with kind of leaning into the blues. So right now you're seeing we've got a 12 bar form. So we've got our chords. Now let's talk about the form. Well, what does that mean? So I'm just going to deal with the 1, the 4, and the 5 in B flat. And remember, as we're doing this, you can translate this up and down the neck. You're going to have to know kind of the overall makeup of the neck, where the notes lie on the neck, you know, where your roots are on the 6th and the 5th string. But once you know that, you can really kind of navigate your way. So if you have a chord progression, and let's say you can tell, it's like if your band director comes up to you and says, I want you to play all blues, it's a 1-4-5 in G, you're like, okay. Even if you haven't quite figured out, you're still working on understanding how the chord progressions work. Maybe you're trying to still understand, you know, what the 1 is, the 4, what the 2 is. You're still kind of dialing that in. Don't overthink it in the beginning. Cover the part, right? My whole idea is if you can at least have a chord to cover the part, if you can at least play a pattern, there's no shame in that. Yes, you need to understand what you're doing. But if you have a concert coming up or performance and you're new to jazz, you just need to play what your instructor needs you to play. And later on, you can connect with either a guitar instructor, or you can hang out with your band director after the fact and, you know, pick his brain or her brain on any questions that you may have. So if that's the case, so this pattern, the reason why I said it is that just from a strictly mechanical approach, you can play what I've showed you, whether you're playing the dominant seven this way, the original way that's like the C chord, or whether I'm playing it this way. So we're dealing with B flat 7. Now I want to go to E flat 7. Now I want to go to F 7. So now I've got all the chords that I need for the blues for this particular chord progression. So now we say, okay, I know that the blues, this, my instructor told me, my band director told me that it's just it's a 12 bar blues. Okay, I know I've got the 1, the 4, and the 5. Hopefully by that time, you'll have a lead sheet in front of you. You'll see the chords. We'll talk more about that too. But for now, once you've got that, we need to, so how do we lay it out? So I can say, okay, first 4 bars are gonna be B flat. This is 12 bars, right? So first 4 measures is B flat. So what does that mean? 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, 4. Now I'm going to the 4 for 2 bars, 2 measures. That's the E flat 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. Then it says I'm going back to the root, which is the B flat, for 2 more bars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. Now we're in the last, so that we've played 8 bars so far, right? 8 measures of the blues. Now we're gonna lean into the last 4 bars, which is going to be start on the 5, which is F, for 1 measure. 1, 2, 3, 4. We're gonna go down a whole step back to the 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, which is E flat. I'll get up close so you guys can see this again. And then back to the B flat. 2, 3, 4. If there's a turnaround, which more often than not there is, you might go back to the 5, which is the F 7. So it's B flat 7, E flat 7, F 7. Now, the last thing we need to also understand is that we're also dealing with 4-4 time. All right, so that just means you have 4 quarter notes in every measure. So when I'm feeling it, every 4 bar, every 4 counts, I'm moving on to another bar. So in this case, I'll play some rhythm with it, and I'll show you kind of how I'm approaching this rhythm in a second. So I'm gonna get back up here so you can see, starting on the B flat. So I'm just gonna play some basic quarter notes. 2, 2, 3, B flat. 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4. Now I'm going to the E flat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. That's our 2 bars, right? Back to the root for 2 bars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. That's 8. That's 8 bars so far. Last 4 bars, that'll give us 12. Starting at the F7 on the 8th fret. 2, here I go. 1, 2, 3. Watch this. Walk down on beat 4, same form, same shape. Land on the E flat. You'll sound real hip if you do that, by the way. Don't do it all the time, it might drive people crazy. E flat 7. And then back to the B flat. Last bar on F. So now I'm going to show you what that sounds like. Kind of within the context of a song, without any stops. So I'm just going to, so you can see how kind of cool it sounds. 2, 3. You also have to, there, even within the context of blues, there are different styles of blues, whether it's more of a slow, kind of like a slow ballad or slow blues, whether it's a shuffle, if you're playing more of a straight ahead blues. So there, even within the context of just the genre that we think of as blues, there are different ways to approach it rhythmically. More often than not, we're going to spend a whole lot of time talking about rhythm, because for me, rhythm is always the foundation of where I come from when it comes to playing. You need to be able to play, even to me, above improvisation. You need to be able to hold down the line rhythmically and compensate, or excuse me, and to comp your part before, because to me, there are so many times the improvisation is the flashy part, right? And it is essential and integral to jazz for sure. But to me, if it really comes down to it, and you're if it's a choice between, if I have a gig and I need a guitar player, one guy says, well, this guy's a really good improviser, but his rhythm's okay, and her, she's a really good rhythm player, I'm probably going to use her because of the fact that I need that strong rhythmic sense. We need somebody to comp along, especially if it's just you and a synth. Sometimes on guitar, you're going to be playing with a vocalist or another instrumentalist. You might just be a duo. That being able to keep that rhythm going, whether it's in a big band or whether it's in a small combo, is really important, because it's also you're a timekeeper. Even if you have a drummer, even if there are others around you who you're kind of playing more of a supportive role for, you still need to have that rhythmic sensibility. Okay, so that's kind of where I come from with all of that. In the beginning, all I'm doing for a rhythm, I like to say that kind of typical swing rhythm that you'll hear from between shuffles and straight ahead tunes. We can just start there because there are all sorts of ways to approach comping. But in the beginning, just start with straight, those are quarter notes. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the way is, we don't really want those sustained. We don't want the kind of sustained chords here. I want to go with a more, I want to have a little more control over the sound. So when I do that, I like to say I'm kind of pumping the strings. And what I mean by that is I'm literally, my fingers are in place. But when I do it, as soon as I finish strumming, I press down, I lay into the strings on the left hand. And as soon as I pass through, think of it as like a dampener pedal on the piano. If you've ever played piano, I lift up those fingers. I keep them in place, but now I just kill the sound there. So when I approach my rhythmic playing, I go 1, 2 on the 1, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, 4. Next chord, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 2. And now we're on, this would be 9, measure 9, right, or bar 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you want to just kind of boom, and back into it. And we're going to, like I said, we'll spend more time dealing with rhythm down the road here. So the last thing that we want to talk about just for today, we're going to spend more time with getting into the blues. We'll get deeper into it down the road. But for today, you can also, if you're coming from a rock or a folk background, if at some point you played a minor pentatonic or a blues scale, right? That all still transfers to jazz. So the beauty of that, you've got a lot of, if you've been playing guitar for any amount of time and you've learned any of that, you're already a step ahead, because that's all going to come with you into this kind of this space now. So all I'm doing, right, is the 1 flat 3. I'm lining up just our traditional tried and true box shape. 4 frets. I line it up here. I'm starting at the 6th fret, 6, 7, 8, and 9. But right now we're fine. We're not going to get too much and get too crazy into the theory today. I just want you to know how to navigate it. Because in the beginning, you need to know, you just need to cover the part. So again, what I'm doing, if you haven't played a blues scale, I'm lining up here and I'm just going to call you the finger numbers. I just say, if you line it up in this box, the beauty of it is that you don't have to go outside of that box. So if I have a note here, so it's going to go, here's your fingerings, 1, 4. So the first finger, remember, is on the 6th fret. Fourth finger is on the 9th fret. So we'll start with a minor pentatonic, right? It's a 5-note scale. So it's 1, 4. I'm going to go to the next fret, or excuse me, the next string, 1, 3. 1, 3 on the next string, 1, 3 on the next string, 1, 4. 1, 4. And again, those numbers that I'm calling out are the finger numbers. Backwards descending. 4, 1, 4, 1. 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 4, 1. So check this out. So this is a B flat minor pentatonic. The beauty of this again is that once you have this scale, you can move this up and down the neck. You can at least cover the part. If you're stepping into this, you're feeling a little kind of in over your head, it's okay. Just go with what you know in the beginning. So if I've got this minor pentatonic, let's see, the next tune is a G blues. Okay. I can go here, G minor pentatonic. So if I play that on top of a dominant chord, I'm just playing the same, I just line up. It's a 4-finger box, consecutive or chromatic frets here. Doesn't matter where I move it. All you need to know is your root, your starting point. So here in the beginning, again, this is, we're kind of laying a foundation with this music. I just want to play and I want to communicate and I want to have fun, right? So now, doesn't matter where I move it. If I start here on the 5th fret, I'm on the A, I'm playing an A blues, or this is an A minor pentatonic. So the one difference now between the minor pentatonic and the, like a blues scale essentially, is the passing tone, or what we call a blue note, right? So the blue note is the passing tone. So in this case, if I go 1, 4, so this is 1, 4, instead of going 1, 3 on the next string, I'm gonna go 1, 2, 3, and then back to 1, 3. This is the minor, if this is your minor pentatonic, now we're going to play minor, excuse me, now we're just going to play blues scale. So B flat minor pentatonic one more time. B flat blues. You're not really hanging on that note. You're literally just passing through. And a lot of, we call those blue notes. And so now I continue that trend. So it's 1, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 3. This is still in the B flat blues. Now check this out. 1, 3, 4, 1, 4, 1, 4, 4, 1, 4, 1, 4, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 2, 1, 4, 1. Again. 4, 3, 1 on the third string. 3, 1, 3, 2, 1, 4, 1. And again, this is movable. So if you have a C blues, all I have to do is move up 2 frets, right? A whole step. Now I'm playing the C blues. I think in the beginning, it's really important. It's jazz, what we think of as jazz theory can be daunting at times. But I think the way to approach it is to just really try to simplify it as much as you can to make it accessible. Again, try to just cover the part. You're going to be surrounded by, you know, people who know more than you, probably, and you're in people who are also on the same journey as you, even if it's on a different instrument, who are exploring what the blues is, or is understanding this theory. So don't be afraid to ask the questions, ask them, if you have a question, whether it can, when it comes to the theory, when it comes to what they're doing rhythmically, don't hesitate to ask your instructors, your, and your peers. All right. So, but in the beginning, If I'm playing a blues, sweet. So check this out. So now, and there are, this is a general, this is just the beginning. Okay. So this is not where we're ending by any means, as far as when it comes to the blues, because sometimes these scales, right, they're a great starting point, but they're not going to get you, it's not going to take you the full distance, right? If we wanted to start there, they're going to be, it'll get you pretty far, especially in the beginning, but there are going to be other things down the road as you grow as a player that you'll need to understand when it comes to theory, that sometimes that blues scale won't quite fit within the context of other chord progressions. But for today, for all purposes, I think we can kind of just start with this, because you can take that information, you know, that many of you may already have, and apply it to, use it as kind of like a bridge into the realm that we think of as jazz. So check this out. A great tune, if you want to kind of hear this exemplified, I'm just going to play a little clip here. It's Freddie the Freeloader by Miles Davis from his album Kind of Blue. It's in B flat. So B flat, you know, you're also dealing with just two flats. You're dealing with B flat and E flat, so you're not having to deal with any crazy sharps or flats. Key signature is pretty straightforward. And the form is very easy to hear. So we're going to listen to this, and I'm going to count the form along with you. All right. And you'll see how this all applies. And I want to play a little bit too. So here it is. Here we go. Back it up. Nice, straightforward melody. Pretty simple, but it's great. Easy to remember. And check this out. Back to the top. Here goes. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 2, 3, 4. 3, 2, 3, 4. 4, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. 2, 2. This is the 4. Back to the 1, 3, 4. 2, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 2, 3, 4. Back to the 1. All right. So with Freddie the Freeloader, it's pretty much exactly what we just talked about form-wise, all right? It's 12-bar blues. The only difference is the first time through the chorus. 2, 3, 4. This is the bar 5, 6, 2, 3, 4, 7, 2, 3. It's this chord right here. That chord right there. So the form is like this for Freddie the Freeloader. If you have like iReal book or something like that, you can pull that up. I'm also gonna put together a PDF that you'll be able to access later on. I'll send that over to the guys at Clearwater, and you can also download that at a later time with all the information we've discussed today. All right, so in this case, the only difference in Freddie the Freeloader, 2, 3, 4, first 4 bar, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, back to the 4, that's E flat, right? 2, 2, 3, 4, back to B flat, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, and check this out, Miles does something really cool here. It's simple but effective. He goes to the A flat, which is technically it would be like a flat 7, right? If you're in the key, if you're dealing with the key of B flat. So it would sound like this. 2, 3. As you get more comfortable rhythmically, you can kind of do these kind of little half step kind of would be the equivalent of like a grace note. The second time through, the form is pretty much just straightforward. He goes 2, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 3, to the 4, back to the 1. Ba, 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 da, ba. right? So you don't even have to play a turnaround on the five on that second one. So that's a great tune to start with. It's a simple melody, but that's easy to follow. That's really just based, again, around more or less around the pentatonic movements. And over that tune, in the beginning, you can use your minor pentatonic. We'll talk more about what goes into building a solo, right? Later on, even within the context of the blues. But today, we just want to look at this as kind of a, you can kind of get that scale form under your fingers. We've got the minor pentatonic, we've got the blues. Get these chord forms under your fingers. Understand the song form, because if you can keep time and follow this song form, that's really going to set you up for more complex song forms. The cool thing about Freddy the Freeloader too, right, is that it's just different enough, right? There's two passes through the form. First 12 bars are going to be the first 12 bars that you go through, right? That's on the turnaround there. The turnaround is that kind of that pivot chord, that A flat. The second time through, that's where we landed on the root, right? Where he goes, bah, 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 da, da. So that's the first time through. Play through the song form. And again, when you get to the last, you'll see that turnaround there. Bah, bah, da, 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 bah, da. And then you would open it up for your solos. And start listen to players, find blues from, there's some, again, there's no shortage of great guitarists. You don't have to only listen to guitarists. I mean, you can listen to Charlie Parker, you can listen to Louis Armstrong, Charlie Christian, but as a guitar player, there is no shortage of great guitar players who really play the blues well, as early as going back to earlier recordings of Charlie Christian, to players like Wes Montgomery. Check out Grant Green, one of the funkiest guitarists out there. Definitely steeped in the blues, right up to George Benson, John Scofield, and the list goes on. So that said, that's really gonna take us where we need to go today. Start spending some time with the blues, spend some time, the history. And again, don't forget to check out your players like B.B. King, Gary Clark Jr. is a great contemporary. These are more kind of rock or more traditional blues players. Jimi Hendrix, right? You can't deny the impact that they've had on the music, both within the realm of more traditional blues forms and within the realm of jazz. But just open your ears, listen to all of it, because you never know what you might take, how that might make its way into your playing, even within the context of jazz. So there's always, even to today, there's kind of this conversation that continues to go on between jazz and blues. And it's always kind of this back and forth kind of relationship where they're pulling from each other. So it's a deep relationship that is worth kind of spending some time with. Really rich and interesting and just fun to play. So I hope that this will at least give you a starting place for how to approach jazz. Feel free. You can find me at JJ Padishall Music on Instagram. If you want to do lessons, if you want, just have a question, you can find me. Don't hesitate. I'm also on WhatsApp. And I can get you all my information and we can connect. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have, or even just recommended listening. So by all means, thank you again for taking time out to chat today. And we will do this again very soon. Oh, and for those of you who are out there, this is something that you're into, May 26th at the studio at 6:20, depending on when you see this video, it may or may not have already happened. I'll be down at the studio 6:20 with a project called called Blue Roots that actually is exploring the influence of kind of jazz and Latin and Caribbean music, just showing these deep threads that we're talking about today through original music and compositions. And that's on May 26th, 7 p.m. at Studio 620. Hope you can be there.
Another awesome session by the great JJ Padishaw. We thank you so much for this. I love the way that you went through the history of the blues, and you know, you not only played it for us and you showed us that form, which we see that in so much music these days in different genres, but the history of it is very rich, and I highly recommend take JJ's advice, go back and read and do your research, and I know you'll enjoy on the journey of the blues. If you enjoyed our session today, and maybe you have a future topic that you want to suggest, we would love to hear from you. Or maybe if you just want to say, hey, I want to hear more sessions from JJ, just email us at info@clearwaterjazz.com. And we would love to hear from you. And don't forget, these sessions are free. So please make sure you share with other people, whether they're musicians or just people that love music. You can always check out our past sessions at www.clearwaterjazz.com/education. So thank you for joining us again. And until next time, like we always say, keep it swinging, everyone. Have an awesome day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Clearwater Jazz Holidays Young Lions Jazz Master Virtual Sessions. Thank you to our friends at Marine Max Clearwater for helping to present this podcast series. To learn more about the Clearwater Jazz Holiday Annual Festival tradition, other special events throughout the year, and our year-round education and outreach, please visit clearwaterjazz.com.